Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari Vyasaranandana Vajra Janaranjana Vyasaranandana Vajra Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari Vyasaranandana Vajra Janaranjana Vyasaranandana Vajra Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Ye Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Gaura Premanandi, Daya Vishnupad Paramahansa, Sri Bhajagataya Oshtatara Sata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Rindaki, Namchar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Ramzugoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Ghor Bhakti Rindaki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Go Gopinath, Shamukunda Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki, Shri Mathura Dham Ki, Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki, Ganga Jamuna Mayi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, His Divine Grace ISKCON Vibhuti Founded Acharya, Savior of the whole world, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Dilership Shishitai Gaura Chandra Ki, Sri Lakshminarasinghe Devi Ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru and Gananga. Morning, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Swayambhuva Manu Advises Dhruva Maharaj. This is text number 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Enam Angatmani Mukta Vigrahe Vyapashitam Nirgunam Ekam Aksharam Atmanam Anvicha Vimuktam Atmadrig Yasmin Idam Vedam Asat Pratiyate. Tam Enam Agatmani Mukta Vigrahe. Vyapashritam nirgunam ekam aksharam Atmanam anvicha vimuktam atmadrig Yasmin idam bhedam asat patiyate Tam enam agatmani mukta vigrahe Vyapashritam nirgunam ekam aksharam Atmanam anvicha vimuktam atmadrig Yasmin idam bhedam asat patiyate Tam enam agatmani mukta vigrahe Vyapashritam nirgunam ekam aksharam Atmanam anvicha vimuktam atmadrig Yasmin idham bhedam asat patiyate
Yes, we need.
Tam, him. Enam, that. Anga, my dear Dhruva. Atmani, in the mind. Mukta vigrahe, free from anger. Vipashvitam, illusioned. Nirgunam, transcendental. Ekam, one. Aksharam, the infallible Brahman. Atmanam, the self. Anvicha, try to find out. Vimuktam, uncontaminated. Atmadrik, facing towards the Supersoul. Yasmin, in which. Idam, this. Bhedham, differentiation. Asat, unreal. Pratiyate, appears to be. Translation. My dear Dhruva, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus, by self-realization, you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. You can repeat, my dear Dhruva, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus, by self-realization, you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entities have three kinds of vision according to their positions in self-realization. According to the bodily concept of life, one sees differentiation in terms of varieties of bodies. The living entity actually passes through many varieties of material forms, but despite all such changes of body, he is eternal. When the living entities, therefore, are viewed in the bodily concept of life, one appears to be different from another. Lord Manu wanted to change the vision of Dhruva Maharaj, who was looking upon the yakshas as different from him or as his enemies. Actually, no one is an enemy or friend. Everyone is passing through different types of bodies under the law of karma. But as soon as one is situated in his spiritual identity, he does not see differentiation in terms of this law. In other words, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati Samasa Veja Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. A devotee who is already liberated does not see differentiation in terms of the outward body. He sees all living entities as spirit souls, eternal servants of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised by Lord Manu to see with that vision. He was specifically advised to do so because he was a great devotee and should not have looked upon other living entities with ordinary vision. Indirectly, Manu pointed out to Dhruva Maharaj that out of material affection, Dhruva thought of his brother as his kin and the yakshas as his enemies. Such observation of differentiation subsides as soon as one is situated in his original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. Oma gyanta menandasya ginangina shalakaya chaksarumilitam jena tasmai sigadeve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yenabhutale Shvayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shvapanandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adhaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinnu Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Am Hrim Shrom Om Param Tataka Hataka Keshaka Jalat Padaka Lochana Bhadhadaka Naka Sparsadiva Singha Namostate. In this verse, Swayambhuva Manu is instructing Dhruva Maharaj to turn his attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman, and by facing the personality of Godhead in his original position, he will thus, by self-realization, be able to see things as they are. So yesterday we mentioned Bahirmukha. Bahirmukha means when one turns his attention away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's two visions. Either one is in Krishna consciousness or one is in Maya. In both conditions we are seeing. But one is we are seeing the reality, and the other is we are seeing the perverted reflection or the illusion. Everyone is seen. But one is in Krishna consciousness. By virtue of his Krishna consciousness, he is seeing things as they are. And one who is Bahirmukha, who has turned his face away from the lotus feet of Nitai Gaurachandra, he is seeing the illusion. The example has been given by Śrīla Prabhupāda that when we stand facing the sun, we see the full light of the sun. We can take full advantage of the light and the heat and the warmth of the sun. But as soon as we turn away from the sun, what happens? When you turn away, what do you see? If you turn away from something, then the sun is shining behind you. What do you see? You see your shadow. And what color is your shadow? Black. It's dark. So that is the effect of turning away from the light. You turn away from the light, you see the darkness. You turn from truth, you see ignorance. You turn from Krishna, you see Maya. You see the Maya. So it's described in Brahma Samhita that the shadow of the chit potency is Durga. Actually, Durga, she is Krishna, or rather, she is Radha. She is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, just like the Lakshmi Devis, they are expansions of Srimati Radharani. So Durga, she is not a material personality. She is actually an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She is the chit potency. The spiritual potency of the Lord, the chit potency, sat chit ananda, constitutes the absolute truth, sat chit ananda. So the shadow of the chit potency, that is Durga Devi and her Durga Dham, which is the darkness. So the darkness is also Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Sometimes people say, well, you say that God is all good. So then how do you explain the evil in the world? How do you explain the bad in the world? How do you explain all these things? Yes, these things are also part of Krishna's energies. Prasya Shaktir Vibhitaiva Shruyate. And they are working wonderfully under his direction. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. That this material energy, this material nature is working wonderfully under the direction of the Lord to bewilder all the conditioned souls. So it's mentioned here in this verse that the you will see, be able to see, you will be able to understand the material energy, the flickering material energy. So this is also described in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the Lord, wherein Srila Vyasadeva is saying, Teni Brahma Hridayadakovaye. He's explaining how Lord Brahma received transcendental knowledge from within the heart, from the Lord. In the next line, Muyanti Yat Suryaha Tejo Vari Mridam. So, Muyanti Yat Suryaha. Muyanti means illusion. So just as the illusion, by him, the great demigods such as Brahma and Shiva, they're also placed into illusion because they're in this material world. Muyanti yat suryaha. Suryaha means the demigods. And then tejavari mridam yata. Tejavari mridam, fire, tejo, vari, water, and mridam, earth. By him, they are placed into illusion. And what is that illusion? That illusion seems to be like water seen in fire and land seen in water. This is an illusion. The definition of illusion or maya is to accept that which is not as truth. So sometimes you've seen that, like when it's very hot out, and it's very, very hot, and it appears like there's kind of waves. It looks kind of like water. You look on the asphalt. Does it ever get hot here? In the midsummer, wearing a sweater. So you look down the road, and you see that everything seems to be flickering, isn't it? It's flickering. This is the heat rising off the asphalt. So it appears that there's water there. Actually, it's not. Another example is well, it says here, land on water. Or we can also understand water on land, again. A mirage. Water on land. When you're in the desert and you're going along, by the combination of the sun reflecting off the sand, it appears at a great distance there's water. So those who are very, very thirsty, they're going towards that water to quench their thirst, but they keep going and going and going and going, and they never reach their destination because it's all an illusion. Just like the materialistic person, he keeps trying and trying and trying and trying to enjoy this material world, but finally death comes and he has not reached his satisfaction. So therefore, illusion. So land on water. Land on water. When we are flying here from Australia, we are flying over the ocean, and as we are flying over, I saw many islands. And then I realized, actually they're not islands. It was just an illusion. It looked just like an island. It looked like brown, greenish-brown island on the water at some distance. But then I realized, actually, it was just a reflection of the light on the water. So I never imagined before land on water. I'd seen water on land. We've all had experience of water on land, but I'd never had an experience of land on water. That's how this verse actually goes. It's Tejo Vari Mritim Yata, fire, water, earth. So it says land on water. So finally I got to see this example of Srimad Bhagavatam. Looked like islands, but they weren't there. It appears to be very real, but actually it's illusory. And it's flickering. So that's the example used today in this verse, that the material nature is flickering. Flickering means we're referring to its temporary nature. Not like the Mayavadis who say that it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. What is their aphorism? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mityam. Brahma Satyam means only Brahman is real. Jagan Mityam, this material world is false. It is false only in that we are trying to enjoy it separately from Krishna. But it is not an illusion. It is here, but it is temporary. So that is it. We also accept, yes. It is illusory, but it is illusory in as much as we are trying to enjoy it separately from Krishna. But you cannot say that it does not exist. Their philosophy is that in illusion we may accept a rope to be a snake. Oh, it's not actually a snake, it's just a rope. So therefore they say, you see, it's all an illusion. The Prabhupada said the fact that you've used the word snake in your analogy means that you must have experience of a snake somewhere else. You must have experience of a snake somewhere else. So they say that this material world is false. It's not existing. But the fact that it is perceivable means that the original thing must be somewhere else. Yes, it's a reflection. It's perceivable only because it exists somewhere else. So they say it doesn't exist. But we say you've used the word snake. You've misjudged the rope to be a snake. Okay, so it's not a snake, it's a rope. But where did you get the idea of snake? You must have got the idea of snake somewhere. So they say this world is false. It's a temporary, but it appears to be real because there's something else real somewhere else. You understand? It appears to be real because there's something real somewhere else. This is the reflection, like you take a mirror and you look at your reflection in the mirror. The reflection's not real. Is the reflection real? No, it's just light. It's just beams of light reflecting off glass. But the fact that it's there because the real thing is somewhere else. That's you, your face looking in the mirror. So therefore, this material world has been described as a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. A perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Everything you see here is also there in its perfect form. So that's why we can't be happy. Just like if you want to touch your face, you touch the mirror, you get this cold glass on your hands. You don't get the warm face. The desire to touch is there and to feel, but by touching the glass we don't get the proper sensation. So our desire to enjoy should be reposed in devotional service to the Lord in the spiritual world, not in this material world. That was the subject of our lecture yesterday. Just like, I'll give you a more practical example, because this is very philosophical and it's Monday morning. And Monday morning it's very hard to stay awake in Srimad Bhagavatam class because we had the Sunday feast. And we had a lot of kirtan. Radharani's here. She's listening very nicely. So I'll give you another example of the falsity of trying to enjoy the reflection rather than the real thing. It's like if you go to a very clear lake, very calm, crystal clear lake. So let's say there's an apple tree growing on the side of the lake. So what happens, the reflection of the apple tree is in the lake. So the apple in the water looks exactly like the apple on the tree. You can hardly tell. If it's a really clear day, do you ever have clear days here? Very clear day, and you in the water, you've got an apple. Now, some foolish living entity may think, oh, there's a nice apple. So, what's he going to get? He's going to get a mouthful of water. He's going to get a big surprise. So in the same way, you think, oh, here is pleasure. Here's the material world. Here is pleasure. But it's only a perverted reflection. Note the word perverted. The apple in the water is a reflection, but here it's described as a perverted reflection. That perverted reflection, how is it perverted reflection? Because what is the topmost transcendental relationship with the Lord in the spiritual world, the conjugal rasa? Freed from all material inebrities. There's not a tinge of anything material in Krishna's relationship with the cowherd girls or the ladies of Dwarka. That is the topmost transcendental rasa that one can enjoy with the Lord. But that which is reflected, if something is reflected, the top thing becomes the bottom thing, doesn't it? You look in, there's a tree on the bank, and it's reflected in the water. The apple tree, which is on the top, on the reflection, is on the bottom. That's how reflections work. So that which is the topmost transcendental relationship in the Lord, when it becomes perverted as lust or sex desire in the material world, it becomes the most degraded thing. So therefore we say perverted reflection. Sex desire is the most degraded activity. Pumshastriya mituni bhavam tayor mito hidaya granti moho atogikshetta sutapta vitaya janasya moho yamaham ameti. That the attraction between male and female, between man and woman, is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, based on this misconception, which ties together the hearts and of the male and the female, one falls into great illusion, and he thinks in terms of I and mine. So that's the knot of material. It's described as hridaya grantim, the attraction between man and woman, which is the perverted reflection of our attraction for Krishna. The original attraction is for Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. But when we fall from grace into this material world, that attraction becomes perverted in the form of attraction for the opposite sex. And what is that attraction for the opposite sex? What is it really? It's just this gross body. One time someone said to Prabhupada, oh Swamiji, I love you. And Prabhupada said, I love you too, but I do not skin love you. So our attraction for the eternal transcendental form of the Lord, which is never subject to deterioration, His original transcendental form, the Yovanamcha, Krishna's form, is eternally youthful. Krishna never grows old. Kumara, he's always a young, sweet, fresh cowherd boy. Our attraction for that transcendental form of the Lord, when it becomes perverted, we get attracted to matter in the form of skin, hairs, muscles, blood, urine, stool, fingernails. But because Maya puts it together in such a way, puts this little bag together, right, in such a way, we think, oh, it's very wonderful. Right? This is Maya. Maya is so strong. Maya's two potencies are to throw the living entity downwards, and her second potency is to cover. So she covers us with illusion. And what is that illusion? That our original attraction for the Lord manifests as attraction for Maya, for matter, that which is not. So it's quite amazing, isn't it? That what is this body after all? I learned in biology when I was in the university that this body is 72% water. This body is 72% water. So if you say, you know, I love you, what are you talking about? You love this big glass of water, this big, right? It's just, what is it? Basically, it's just chemicals. And, well, what is it? It's a liver, it's a heart, it's a pancreas, it's a gallbladder. It's some skeleton, some bones. It's about a few liters of blood. How many pints of blood are there in the body? I remember there's so many. If you really want to see it for what it is, then all you have to do is just go see a car crash. You may see it spread, you know, it's kind of hard to analyze. It's all covered up right now. Can't really see it so well. So let's put that all on the table, right? You go to a car crash and you see it all over the ground. And, oh, there's that. Is that me? Is that my beloved? One time Srila Prabhupada was driving in India with his disciples. They were going from Calcutta to Mayapur. And along the way, Prabhupada kind of dozed off, like most devotees are doing right now. I just need a big shock to wake you up. One time I was sleeping in Prabhupada's class. Because we'd been working very hard, Prabhupada was coming, so I was sleeping. And I was doing like this, you know, moving the leg like this, trying to keep awake. So, didn't work. So right in the middle of the class, Prabhupada, I was deep, I was out. You rascal, wake up! Why are you sleeping in Bhagavatam class? That's me. Yes, you! Why are you sleeping? Sorry, Prabhupada. If you are sleepy, go to the back of the room. Stand up. I never slept in class after that. Prabhupada's words pierced my heart. To be chastised by the spiritual master is also a form of mercy. What is the mercy? That I won't sleep anymore and I can hear the Bhagavatam. Because by hearing the Bhagavatam, our hearts become purified. We can become Krishna conscious. So, anyway, they were driving from Calcutta to Mayapur. And along the way, someone had been run over by a truck. And we use sometimes flat as a pancake. You've heard that expression? You have that here in New Zealand? Flat as a pancake. So he was flat as a pancake. You've seen those big trucks in India. They're very big. And the Indians ride these little bicycles, you know. And the big truck. So he must have been about 5 feet tall, but by the time the truck ran over him, he was about 8 feet tall. And he was perfectly squished on the ground. Squashed. Flat as a pancake. I'm just trying to give you a graphic understanding of material life. So, Prabhupada was sleeping, but the devotees, you know, look at that. They couldn't believe it. You know, it's something really amazing to actually see the material body in that particular way. So then About a couple hours later, Prabhupada woke up and the devotees recounted the story of how they'd passed this man who'd been squished flat as a pancake by a... that's what you can title the class, Flat as a Pancake. they said, oh, Prabhupada, we saw this horrible thing. His man had been run over by a truck and his bicycle was off to the side and he was completely squished on the ground. This is from the Little Red Nectar Prabhupada books, Drops of Nectar. So then Prabhupada, he wasn't at all disturbed. So devotees were kind of reminded, Prabhupada, he's not disturbed. This man was all squished and the blood and the guts everywhere. And Prabhupada said, you were only disturbed because you still identify with this material body as the self. You're only disturbed, he said, because I'm not disturbed, but you are disturbed because you still identify the body as the self. So you're seeing the body in that condition, you're thinking, how horrible, how much suffering. But no, the body is not the self, so I am not disturbed. Dhirasyata namuyanti. Dhira means one who is sober. Dehinasmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jarata tatayanta raspaptir dhirasyata namuyanti. What could be more disturbing than being pulled out of this body? The soul is very attached. We're very attached to this body. Practically, we wouldn't want the body of anyone else. We want our body because we're used to it. We know how it works. We think it's nice. It's wonderful. We're very attached. So when you have to take the soul out of this body, that's a very, very difficult thing. That's death. The most painful condition is described. Death is the most painful condition. Not only are we being torn from this body, but we're being torn from our bodily identifications, which are just as strong. How strong is the bodily identification? You're driving down the road, you hit someone's car. Hey, it's just like you hit him in the face, right? You bump his car. Oh, excuse me. What do you mean? I'm going to kill you. Because his identification with the body is so strong. If you insult his wife, he's ready to give up his life in a fight. If you insult his country, we have a saying in America, God bless America. The land of the free. People, the nationalism is a very strong conception. Just like Gandhi. Gandhi is supposed to be a great saint. It's questionable whether he was a politician who was acting as a saint or a saint acting as a politician. I think rather a politician as acting like a saint. But he said, after reading Bhagavad Gita, being such a religious person, what did he say? He said, first we are Indian, then we are Hindus. Our first identification is that we are Indians. So we must free ourselves from British rule. That was his statement. So what kind of saint was that? Saint is freed from all material designations. A saintly person has no material designations. What is his designation? Same verse we've quoted numerous times. Jivera Surupoya Krishnera Nityadas. That's my only identification. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I am the eternal servant of the Lord. That is my eternal identification. Anything else is a blemish. Just like sometimes one is born with a blemish or a birthmark or something. So beautiful face, but little, maybe there's a blemish there. So what is a blemish on the soul? This body? The body's like a boil on the soul. Like a boil. So that was Gandhi. Gandhi's nationalism is an illusion. That I am American, that I am New Zealand, that I am Australian, that I am Japanese or Chinese. This is all the illusory concept of life, bodily identification. So one who is Krishna conscious, he is freed from such bodily identification. So dhirasyata namuyanti. Such a sober person, when he leaves this body, it's not a painful condition. It's just like clipping the fingernails. Right? If your fingernails are also part of the body, isn't it? You can't say it's not. It is. But what happens when you cut your little... just take a little knife now. You got some scissors here? So let's just cut a little piece of your finger off. Not much, maybe 1/8 of an inch. We'll just... It's going to hurt, right? But if you cut your fingernail, it doesn't hurt at all. So you're cutting the body. You're cutting the finger. It hurts. You're cutting the body in the form of the fingernail, and it doesn't hurt at all. So that's what it's like for a self-realized soul to leave this body. He's also leaving his body. Devotee is also dying. But because dhira, because he's sober, because he has knowledge, he can be sober. Therefore, It's not a difficult situation for him. Dhirasyata Namuyanta, he changes, he's not disturbed by such a change of body. But those who are entangled in material existence, how painful it must be to leave this. Not just they have to leave this body, but they have to leave their wife, who is dearer than life. I'm a poet, I didn't know it. They have to leave the wife who is dearer than life. You say it three times, it becomes truth. The wife who is dearer than life. Oh Lord of my life. My beloved. See, sometimes people, their bodily attachments are stronger than their attachments to their own body. And that is seen. But sometimes a person will give up his own life for their children, or their family members, or their country. There was one. Of treason, I think. So he was shot by his own family, by his own, yes, his own family, his own American compatriots. They shot him, and he said his last words, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." Well, don't be so worried, sir. You may be born as a cockroach in the capital of America with your sinful activities. But this conception of nationalism is very, very strong. Illusion. Flickering Maya, she's so nationalism. So they will sacrifice their own lives for the greater conception of themselves. National is extended sense gratification. That's how Prabhupada described his name. We're not so impressed, you know. I'm a patriot. I'll die for my country. Yes, sir. It is simply extended selfishness. It's still your own nonsense, selfish conception of life that you are this and you are that, and everything revolves around you. It's all for your pleasure. This is all illusion. So the bodily concept of life is so strong. So how painful is their condition? Not only are they being pulled from this one body, but they're being pulled from all their attachments. Just like when you put a Band-Aid on, right? You ever put it, the old days, not so much the new Band-Aids, but you've got a cut here, right? So then you put a Band-Aid on it. So the old Band-Aid. So then you try to take the Band-Aid off. All the hairs on your body ripped off. So you've got a blessing. I don't know what they say in English. A wound. In French they say blessure, right? You've got a blessure. So you've got a wound here. So very nice. The wound is healed, but you try to take the Band-Aid off, and then you know the act of taking the Band-Aid off is more painful than the wound itself. That is described in Bhagavatam. Their actions to solve the problem cause more distress than the problem itself. That's material life. Material life is adding insult to injury. Already we're in Maya, but Maya slaps us around a little bit more. An example Prabhupada gives us the ass. The ass comes for sex with the she-ass. And what does he get? Kaboom! A big kick in the face. But he's so determined, he comes back again. Kaboom! Whew. But he's not just like a boxer, you know. Boom! Oh, I'm still going to win the fight. Boom! I'm still going to win the fight. So this is material nature. We want to enjoy. All right, you can enjoy for a few moments. But take this. Now enjoy. Oh, I'm enjoying so much. Where is pleasure in this world? And what you have to do to get it. All right, there is some pleasure. We agree. Okay, all right, so we agree. There's some pleasure. But what do you have to do to get it? To get kicked in the face by Maya again and again and again. But if you want Krishna consciousness, you want to enjoy, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Or pick up a broom and sweep the temple, clean the altar, dress the deities, go on Sangatan. Where is the unhappiness in Krishna consciousness? Where is the happiness in material world, and where is the unhappiness in devotional service? Oh, there's so many problems. But no, those problems are only when we bring the dirt in from the outside. So we try to take the Band-Aid off, and it take all the hairs off. So this is material life. So this is the position of the materialist. He's being torn, just like we gave the example of the banyan tree. Again, it's an appropriate example, the example of the banyan tree. The banyan tree, remember how big was the banyan tree? Who was awake yesterday? How many miles? 50. Actually, it was 51, but I'll say 50. So 50 miles long. Now the roots are going in, and they're coming out, and they're going in, and they're going out, and they're going in, and they're going out, like that. So that's a pretty big tree. The roots are deep. So our attachment to this materialistic way of life is compared to roots in the ground. Now, if any of you have ever done farming, if you want to clear a field, what do you have to do? You have to take all the trees out, okay? So what do you do when you take a tree out? First you cut it down. Is it finished? No, because what? If you want to plow the ground, you've got all those roots in there. So it's very easy to cut the tree down. But it's not so easy to get the roots out. So it's easy to move into the temple and shave our head and put on a dhoti and sari. But then the real work begins. Taking the anarthas out. Anartha nivritti syat, as we mentioned the first day. Taking those roots, that's the real work. Cut the tree down. But to get out the roots, you have to use dynamite, you have to use a tractor, pull it in. What do you see when it comes out, you know? Actually, it's very interesting, botany, that the size of, if you see a tree, the size of the tree, the circumference of the tree, or the diameter of the tree, taking into consideration all the branches and the leaves and so forth like that, the roots are take up as large an area, if not more, than that area you see outside. That's interesting, isn't it? If you see a big, big tree, you can see a big, big tree, then you should know that the roots of that tree extend as deep and as wide as the tree itself. And in several, it's very common that they go even farther. They go like in bamboo. Bamboo has a tendency to go everywhere, very difficult to get out. So then you can get an appreciation of how the tree is rooted. So try to conceive in the same way our entanglement in this material existence. That, you know, it's not just this body that we're attached to, because we have been in this material world since time immemorial, so the attachments go very deep. But don't fear, because the chanting of Hare Krishna can uproot all these attachments very quickly. Just one pure name, Hare Krishna, didn't work. Not pure enough. Well, no surprise. But, you know, one name can just dissolve all that immediately. So don't worry. But we're just trying to give an understanding of how attached we are so we don't sit on our laurels, you know. Well, I've been a devotee so long. Oh, the attachments are very deep. They go very, very deep. So this is what we have to do. We have to take them out. So how are they extended? They're extended through family members. Tomorrow's verse will also be on this conception. I and mine. The material attachment is going very deep. Not only in this lifetime. I told the story before. My mother wrote me a letter. My dear son, please accept my humble obeisance. No. How is my little baby doing? So she wrote one letter. She was saying, I have just discovered that one of your relatives, your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, whatever it may be, was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and the original Constitution of America. You know, how proud you must be. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. Hey, who is this guy? I don't even know who he was. You know, he's just some... I never met him. He existed. You know, he may be a bug on the floor right now, for all I know, for all I care. Of course, if we become pure devotees, 10,000 generations that way and 10,000 generations this way, they all get liberated. Anyway, there must be some connection. So she's saying, you know, you have so much to be proud of. You know, that one of your ancestors signed the original Declaration of Independence from the British in America, you know. And she went on and on how he must have fought in the war and gave his life, you know, for America. He spilled his blood so you could enjoy it. You've just become a Hare Krishna. Actually, she likes Krishna. She always signs her letters, Hare Krishna. See this fly? Prabhupada said flies, they're expert at agitating. Trying to concentrate, there's flies running all around. Anyway, so, you know, that's how deep the roots go. Not only this lifetime, but, you know, back. And then the scientists, they make it even worse, you know. Your ancestors were monkeys. You know? So, you know, oh, the cute little monkey, he's my ancestor, he's my brother. You know? So, you know, their family members, their grandfathers, great, they have pictures all over the house. Right? You ever do door-to-door sangatan? You go inside the house. Soma dead, you know, worship, you talk about worshiping the decoration of the dead body, especially the Hindus. They have, you know, the father. It's a big, huge, blown-up picture. Like, you know, we have these big blown-up pictures. So they have the blown-up pictures of dad, you know, who started the business in 1920s, you know, and every day they come and do some puja, and they put a bindi here, and they put a flower garland, you know, and then, you know, namaskar. But still, he's dead and gone, but the worship is still going on. And who are the idol worshippers? They say we're idol worshippers because we worship the deity. But we know the deity is not different than the Lord by his transcendental potency. So who's the idol worshipper? What does idol worshipper mean? That means one who worships matter. One who worships matter. So they're the idol worshippers because they're worshipping the body. We're not worshipping the body. When we offer obeisances to a Prabhu, we're offering obeisances to the super soul within the heart and the soul that is accompanying him. We're not offering obeisances to the body. So they're the idol worshippers, not us. They worship the body. So the bodily attachment is so strong. So one time Prabhupada was with his disciples, they were sitting and they went to a life member's house. So as soon as they got to the house, the life member came in and said, "This is my wife, this is my eldest daughter, this is my middle daughter, this is my youngest daughter, and my wife is expecting another child, and this is my son, and this is my son's son, and this is his son." And go on, you know, he introduced, so he probably had to go through all this, you know, and he's very proud of his big family. And then Prabhupada turned to one of his disciples and mimicking the man, he said, "This is my sex life." So one time Prabhupada said, sex life, illicit or licit, it's all illicit. Illicit or licit, it's all illicit in the sense that it entangles us more in this materialistic conception of life. Devotees must also remember that their children are part and parcel of the Lord. They are devotees. And we should not become distracted from our real responsibility of raising them Krishna consciously. Not to fall into the bodily concept, oh, you cute little thing, you know. And giving them all kinds of sense gratification because they're children, you know. But rather give them Krishna consciousness. They can also enjoy Krishna consciousness as young children. When I flew from New York one time, I saw children playing in the playground, very rich children. And they were enjoying themselves, dressed very nicely. When I got to Calcutta, I saw children with rags on playing in the street with an old ball. But they were both happy. Children are happy under any condition. That's the nature of being children. There's an advantage to every stage of life. There's an advantage to every state. There's disadvantages and there's advantages. So we can take use of the advantage. So the advantage of children is that they're carefree. So rather than doing nonsense color books, Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, right, Radha? They can do, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai, and Lord Nisringadev. And do you have some coloring books? And it's all Krishna, right? And so, you know. So that is the nature of children. They can enjoy under any circumstance. So let them enjoy Krishna consciousness. Don't give them maya. Of course, I'm sure you don't do those things here, but anyway, philosophy of the Bhagavad is there. That from the tender age of 5, they must be raised Krishna consciously because they are devotees. That is our responsibility. We must not be distracted by the body. little cute little body. Why is that body there? Because they have material desires. And those desires may not be so manifest now, but when they reach puberty, those desires will come out like, you know, a raging fire. 14, you know, all of a sudden. You know, so you make sure they have plenty of training. So by the time they get to be 14 or 15 or 16, and they have to deal with the karma of the past, with those desires that brought them into this world, they'll be prepared to deal with it. So that's why from the tender age of 5 years, we should begin giving them Krishna conscious association, encouragement, instruction, teaching. And that's the importance of Gurukul. It's like you're going to start a Gurukul here very soon. So the teacher should take their responsibility very seriously. Not like the karmis who identify with the body, but we identify with the soul. So that bodily concept of life is so strong, going back generations, and by the grace of our modern day scientists, it is transcending even the human species and going into the animal species, that we can be very proud that our ancestors were monkeys. But that's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is that our ancestors, because we identify with the spiritual family, that is a difference. And that is more real, because that relationship is eternal. The relationship with the bodily ancestors is temporary. There is no relationship. The only relationship is misery loves company. The relationship is based on suffering. This materialistic way of life is a suffering condition. So I identify with other persons who have appeared in my dynasty as sufferers. And thinking of them only puts me more into illusion, so more suffering. So insult to injury. But who is the real father? Janame janame sabbe pitamata paya Krishna guru nahi mili bhajahari hai. Janame janame sabbe pitamata paya. This is Bengali, right? Janame janame sabbe pitamata Krishna guru nahi mili bhajahari hai. Everyone has mother and father in this materialistic world. Even the bugs have a mommy and daddy. Even the worms have a mommy and daddy. That's nothing very wonderful. But what is wonderful if one can get Guru and Krishna? And Guru is like real father. Janame janame sabbe pita matapaya. Krishna guru nahi mile bhaji hariye. Because by worshipping Guru and Krishna, one can attain all perfection and go back to the spiritual world. So, we have our family also. Just like Prabhupada said, one devotee asked Prabhupada, will he go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, yes, they will all go. Tamal will go. Shamsundar will go. You will go. We will have our ISKCON in the spiritual sky. Of course, some may get there first. But if we keep practicing, you know, some may be farther along the road, but everyone's going to make it eventually if we just stick to this process. So we have our family members also. And just like they have the perverted reflection of wanting to increase their sex life by having more children and getting more entangled in Krishna consciousness, we have children also. But that is not, although we did say earlier, illicit and licit, it's all illicit. That's only if we have a carry material conception. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I would have sex 1,000 times if I knew that those children would be Krishna conscious. So the tendency to expand the material family is very strong because it's a perverted reflection of the desire to have the family of Krishna consciousness. Krishna mata, Krishna pita. Huh? How does that verse go? Do you know? Krishna mata, Krishna pita, da-da-na-na-na. Yeah. Krishna's my mother, Krishna's my father. In this way, we have our family in Krishna consciousness. Our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is in the spiritual world. We have our spiritual family. So, just like that perverted reflection, again, getting back to the original point, the perverted reflection to enjoy the material nature separate from Krishna, is that is the perverted reflection of our desire to enjoy with the Lord. And the material world, that is manifest in the form of sex desire. So we have to get free from that sex desire so that we develop the real desire to love Krishna. Prabhupada said, iron and gold are both metals, but there's a world of difference. So our attraction to this world and our attraction to Krishna are both attractions, but there's a world of difference. One is the material world and the other is the spiritual world. That is the world of difference. There's a difference between. So we have to become free from this mundane attraction, become attracted again to the Lord. But that attraction to this material world is so strong. Therefore the pujaris have such an important service. Because by dressing Sri Shinitai Gaurachandra as they have today, it's very difficult not to look at these beautiful deities. They're such beautiful deities, and their beauty is brought out by the bhakti of the pujaris. Because the pujaris have dressed Nitai Gaurachandra so wonderfully that their beauty is increased. Generally, a jewel is very beautiful by itself, but when you put a jewel on Krishna's body, the jewel becomes more beautiful because of the transcendental form of the Lord. So pujaris have a very important service, that they dress the deity so very nicely that we no longer are attracted to this material world. Because here is the reality. The deity is the reality. Krishna has appeared before us in this transcendental form. So this is the reality. The material world is not the reality. So if the pujaris dress the deities very nicely, then when we go on Sangatan, there's no danger. There's always a risk in going out there, because that's Maya's kingdom. Don't think that there's no risk. There is a risk. Once you start thinking, I'm doing pretty good now, Maya's not going to get me. Finished. Right? The minute you think everything's okay, then you let your... Just like you're boxing, right? Did you ever learn to box? So if you're boxing, see, even the opponent may be more powerful than you. If you keep your guard up, you're pretty good. But once you think, hey, I'm doing pretty good now, you know? KO right in the face. So keep your guard up. You have to always keep your guard up. And then, you guard your solar plexus and you guard your nose and your mouth. Yeah? Anyway. Never let your guard down. Oh, I'm okay. As soon as you think, just like Prabhupada said, as soon as you think that I am guru, then you are disqualified. Guru means the most humble servant of the Lord. So as soon as you think, I am so qualified, then you as soon as a devotee thinks, I am so qualified, then you become unqualified. Because our qualification is we have no qualification. We're simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And that is our qualification. Just as Narottam Das Thakur says, your mercy is all that I am made of. So as soon as we forget where the mercy is coming from and we're thinking that we are something, then that is a dangerous position. We open our guard from Maya to give a good punch. Okay, Mr. Somebody so special. What is special is that we're servant of a Vaishnava. That is special. Our specialty is in that we are servant of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, and by their mercy we're being maintained. So we can't let our guard down. So therefore the pujaris, they have such an important service. Just see how everything is preaching. Sometimes devotees say, preaching, preaching means getting out there and distributing the books and doing the collection. That is preaching. But it's also preaching to dress the deity. Because why are we dressing the deity? So that we'll be attracted and we can remember. How can you forget Nitai Gaurachandra today? If we have to go out and preach today and there's a little trouble, just close your eyes. Wow, Nitai. Look how Nitai is arched back so nicely. What did somebody write? He's going to, I don't know what they wrote, he's going to the next yard or something. Pretty far out offering. Anyway, that's their conception. Let him think like that, At least they're thinking of Krishna. So if we're able to see the deities dressed so beautifully as they are today, then all the desires in our heart, they'll simply be replaced by this beautiful vision of Shishinitai Gaurachandra. Shishinitai Gaurachandra ki! And Nisringadev. You have to come see Nisringadev. He's really looking good today. He's a little lonely. Nobody comes to see him here. In the other temples, all the brahmacharis, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Here he's like upstairs, and who's going to come see me? So come see him today. He's got his hand like this, ready to give his benediction. So Archavigraha, form of the Lord, the merciful form. He comes, we cannot see God with our eyes, we don't know what so he comes just so that we can turn our attention away from this glaring material energy. This perverted desire to enjoy this gross dead matter, so that we can enjoy the real life of Krishna consciousness. And who is the Lord of our life? Nitai Gaurachandra. They are the Lord of our life. So we can absorb ourselves in their transcendental service. Then surely, within a very short time, we can uproot these strong attachments to this material world. That is our process. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So are there any questions? Yes. But material desire is a subtle form of conditioning, whereas material desire is the source of our liberation. So we can't stop desiring. Desire is always there, but that desire becomes polluted when we fall into the material world, and we clean away that pollution. The desire is real. We're always desiring. We just have to learn the trick of desiring. As soon as we desire material, we get this body to facilitate, and we get so much facility for sense gratification. But as soon as you start desiring Krishna, in other words, what does it mean to desire Krishna? It means to take up the process of devotional service, bhajana kriya, sadhana. As soon as we begin to practice activities which are conducive for developing and purifying our spiritual desire, then we start developing our spiritual body. So desire is always there. Spiritual desire means a spiritual form. Material desire means a material form. And a little story just to illustrate the point, make it more clear about desire. Once there was a woodsman, and this woodsman went to the forest, and he was working hard all day long, chop, 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 difficult, you know. So then he sat down under a tree after a while, and then he said, God, I just wish this wood would stack itself. All the wood started piling up. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, I just wish this axe would chop all the wood by itself. Then he looked up and he said, I must be sitting under a desire tree. You know, in Kalpavriksha. Devotees are like Kalpavriksha trees. So there's a desire tree, and he's sitting there. I just wish that there was a beautiful silk canopy here to protect me from the heat of the hot day. I wish there was a whole feast of gourmet foods, a nice china and silver. I wish there was beautiful maidens to serve. I wish there were sweet breezes carrying nice perfumed aromas. We don't want to let you fall into Maya. Anyway, he started going and created this whole phantasmagoria like this, you know. So then he got a little bit confident of it. And then finally the day went on, it started to get dark. The sun started to set, darkness started setting in. He became a little worried. Uh-oh, he said, it's getting dark. I know what's going to happen now. What's going to happen now is a tiger is going to come and eat me. And sure enough, as soon as he said it, a big tiger appeared on the scene and ate him up. So, you understand? Prabhupada said it's what we desire that's important. Of course, it's kind of a relative story, but we can draw something from it. Chanakapanda said you can take gold from a filthy place, marry a girl if she has good qualities, even if she's born in a bad family, and take knowledge from a fool. So the analogy may not be perfect, but the idea is that he was desiring one thing, which was relatively good for him. Then he desired something that was bad. It's all a question of desire. Here, tiger. So we just have to desire Krishna. That's all. And how do we do that? By living in the association of devotees and practicing Krishna consciousness, we learn to become attracted to that which is Krishna conscious. Living here in his temple, we're doing everything that they're doing. Our desires are still there, but our desires are employed in the service of the Lord. And gradually our dull brains are beginning to understand that this is better than out there. Especially when we have nice kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds of millions of names like Krishna and Govinda and Nisringadeva, etc. In all these transcendental names, you invested all your transcendental energies, and there are no hard and fast rules for the chanting of the holy name. But unfortunate as I have no attraction. So Krishna has come before us as the most attractive personality, just to detach us from the falsity of this material world. But still, Bahir Mukha, we're still looking at our shadow. We're still attracted to our shadow, the darkness rather than the light, the illusion rather than the truth, Maya instead of Krishna. But we can't wait too long. Life is very short. Actually, we should take each day like it was our last. Janaka Pandit said that you cannot buy 1 second of human life back with all the gold in the world. So we should live our lives. We are so fortunate that we have come to the shelter of this Krishna conscious movement. We are so fortunate. We should never forget our good fortune. And every year that we have, every month that we have, every week that we have, every day that we have, every hour that we have, every minute that we have, every second that we have, we should be so determined to engage that in Lord Krishna's devotional service. Doesn't matter what the service is. It is all significant. It's all. After millions of lifetimes, we get to sweep Krishna's floor. After millions of lifetimes, we get to empty the garbage of the Vaishnavas. To take out the garbage, that's a wonderful service. You're serving the Vaishnavas. So we should not misuse one. We are so fortunate that we have this opportunity. So we shouldn't let any day go by without making 100% effort to be Krishna conscious. Then we're safe. Because we don't know how much time we have. We can't be an illusion like the materialistic people. Oh, when I get old, I'll become Krishna conscious. Oh, when I get older, I'll become more determined and really fixed up. Not now is the time. There's no better time. What is that? Why put off for today? Why put off for tomorrow what you can do today? So here we are here now. So we must use every moment very seriously. Otherwise, we'll be like the deer who was seeing her reflection in the water. There was once a deer, and she was looking at the reflection, just like, again, this material world is a perverted reflection. So the deer is looking in the water, and she's seeing her beautiful face. She's captivated. Oh, who is this sweet, beautiful personality here? She came there to drink water, but she's drinking so slowly. A tiger sneaking up on the scene. And, you know, she's just too attracted. She can't see. And finally, whoosh, tiger pounces on her and eats her up. So we shouldn't be attracted by the perverted reflection. What is this body? We should become detached from this body, from the body identification, from the illusion of material life. Because the tiger of time is coming every day, getting closer, 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 closer. Now is the time to become surrendered. 100% Atma Nivedanam. Why later? Why not now? What was that story? What was that? I can't remember. There was a nice story. Prabhupada told the devotee, now you have to become Krishna conscious. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, there are so many warnings. Just like Mother Nature, she's made an arrangement for the living entities in the jungle, in the forest. And when the big tiger goes on the prowl, he's the king of the forest. Huh? Or let's say a lion. We'll use a different example, just to give a little variety. There's a lion on the prowl. Now, he's king of the forest, right? King of the jungle. He can get any living... A lion can eat up any living entity in the forest. He's so powerful. That's why he's called the king of beasts. But nature has made a little arrangement that it's not so easy for him either. That in the jungles, there's at least in Africa, there's a little rodent, I forget what she's called, and her job is that she follows the lion when he goes on the prowl, and she makes a little noise, cheep-cheep, cheep-cheep, cheep-cheep. A big, big, powerful lion going out for the hunt, right? And all the animals are running away because they hear the rodent, cheep-cheep. Lion is coming, cheep cheep, big lion is coming. Nature's arrangement. Nature makes very strange combinations. I noticed when we were flying somewhere, or driving somewhere, that the The cows, I think in Australia I saw it, the cows, they often have this little white bird falling, and when the cow is like walking along, and the little bird is like, I guess when the cow takes out the grass, huh? Then the little insects come up from under the earth, and the bird eats those insects. That's how he gets his food. So you see this, have you seen that? These little white birds, there's always one bird for each cow. And they're best of friends, because the bird sits on the back of the cow and he eats the ticks off his back. So, oh, that's very nice, he doesn't mind, you know? So when the cow's like eating the grass, then the bird, he's taking out the insects. So they're working together like that. So there's some pretty far out combinations when you study material nature. So this little rodent follows the lion in the forest and making it very difficult for the lion to get its food. But there's a warning there for all the other animals. Now, if the animals don't heed that warning, then watch out. The lion, the death personified, will come very quickly. So there's so many warnings that we're blind. Ahanyahani bhutani. Yamaraj or Yudhishthir said, Ahanyahani bhutani. Yach, good, I forget this verse, but every day, millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. But I am not thinking I am going to go. Every day, mother, father, grandmother, friends, relatives, enemies, they're all going to the kingdom of death. Everyone around me is dying, but I am not thinking I am going to die. If I knew I was going to die, I would make sufficient preparation. So the rodent is giving the word, death is coming. So what are the warnings of nature? Huh? We're getting old. Body's getting older. Disease, that's another warning. You can't be happy here. Cheep, 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 cheep. You're getting diseased. Cheep, 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 cheep. Can't you see? You're getting old. Cheep, 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 cheep. Your friends are dying. Cheep, 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 cheep. Read the newspapers. Cheep. Don't read the newspapers anyway. Remember what they used to say. Cheep, cheep, cheep. There's so many warnings. And like the stupid, dumb animal in the forest, it doesn't heed the warning because nature's arrangement is the lion gets his share. Isn't it? Lions also have to eat. What is that verse? One living in jivo jivasa jivanam. One living entity becomes food for another living entity. So the lions are also getting their share. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want time to gobble us up and we haven't become Krishna conscious. To take the warning. Take the warning from material nature, take the warning from Shastra. Very clear warnings. And become serious about executing Krishna consciousness. Because time is not on our side. Time is working against us. But by the grace of Guru and Gauranga, we can become successful. Again, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I see there's no reason that all my disciples cannot become Krishna conscious in this very lifetime. We should take full advantage of the process. Chant our 16 rounds a day very seriously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And take prasadam with great gusto. Take to your full satisfaction. So prasadam will purify your heart also. And develop very close relationships with your godbrothers. And do exactly what your temple authorities say. Temple president, ki! Yeah. Kala Sambhara ki! And chant and dance in ecstasy in front of the beautiful forms of Shishitai Gaurachandra. Gantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.